Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
For many years, people with mental and physical disabilities in Massachusetts were often locked away in state institutions to be kept separate from the rest of society. Most of these institutions have now been closed for decades. But some advocates and families say the state has never fully reckoned with the way patients were treated and the abuses they endured. This morning, WBUR's Steve Brown reports on efforts to create a commission to grapple with the legacy of these institutions and help more people gain access to their records. A warning, some of the history here may be disturbing to some listeners.
Alex Green walks the grounds of the long-shuttered Metropolitan State Hospital, where Belmont, Waltham, and Lexington come together.
So this is where we kind of cut in off of any kind of road onto a path, which is really beautiful.
Closed in 1992, many of the buildings have either been torn down or converted to housing or businesses. But the brick administration building, covered in graffiti and invasive vegetation, stands abandoned. A stark reminder of a system that at one time was made up of 27 state hospitals and state schools, where thousands were sent away, including many who complained about the mistreatment over the years. Now the Waltham resident and Harvard public policy lecturer wants the unvarnished history of state institutions to be told.
There is no formal statement of what the state schools and what the state hospitals were, why they came to be what they were, how they closed.
For Green, his quest is personal. He suffers from mental illness, and had he been born a few decades earlier, Green believes he might have been sent to an institution himself. Green is spearheading efforts to create a special commission to tell the true story of these institutions. Today, Green says the surviving written records are likely scattered all over the state.
When these places closed, people just kind of threw boxes in trucks and sent them to the archives or wherever they could, and I think walked away for a lot of different reasons. And I think that people deserve more closure than that.
He says time is running out, however, as there are fewer residents left alive each year. One of those former residents is Patricia Brown. She was sent to the state-run Walter E. Fernald School in Waltham 62 years ago.
I was only 8 years old. I remember I went out there in the fall, and it was scary. I didn't know what was going on.
Brown and her brother were sent to Fernald by a judge who deemed their mother unfit. She says Fernald was a hard place to grow up.
A lot of children died. I seen them die right in front of me, and I couldn't understand why. It was a lot of abuse. It's sad. It's very, very sad.
Not all abuse resulted in death. About a decade before Brown arrived at Fernald, 74 boys were enticed to join the school's science club. Club members were offered oatmeal for breakfast, but unbeknownst to the boys, the oatmeal was laced with radioactive material, part of an experiment conducted with MIT and Quaker Oats to learn whether the cereal inhibited the absorption of iron. Patricia Brown says girls at Fernald endured other atrocities.
They rape girls. They molest girls. They drug you up and they molest you. And that's the truth. A lot of girls got pregnant. Fortunately, I didn't get pregnant. Maybe because I was fighting.
Abuses like the ones Brown described prompted the federal courts to intervene in the 1970s and order the state to improve conditions at the institutions. Brown is currently pursuing her GED and supports the creation of a commission. One of the objectives of the commission would be to identify records that could be made available. Many of the records are located here at the State Archives in Dorchester.
And just print, sign, and date this one. That'll become your researcher badge, and I'm going to laminate it for you.
Laura Zygmunt traveled to the archives to find out more about her oldest sister, Cheryl. Cheryl Zygmunt died at the age of 7 while a resident at the Fernald School in 1965. She suffered from intellectual and physical disabilities due to a rare disease.
And I've just gotten really curious just about the most basic aspects of her time there and when she went there and how long she was there.
Archive staffers were able to show Zygmunt some records about the institution, but nothing about her late sister Cheryl. For that, she would need a court order, even though Zygmunt is the next of kin.
I could end up going through a lot of hoops, and then they could say there are no records. You know, there was a flood. I mean, who knows? It's always the case.
Supporters say a commission would be able to streamline the process for accessing patient records. Other proposals would make the records publicly available after 90 years. The bills are slowly making their way through the legislature. A public hearing on the commission bill was held in June, but the legislation is not a high priority, so it may take a while before a vote. Co-sponsor Senator Mike Barrett of Lexington says it's important that we deal with the injustices that might have been meted out.
Each of these institutions, and we count 27 of them spread throughout Massachusetts, have a story of their own. And the human beings who were domiciled there deserve to have their stories told.
Some former employees also favor a commission, among them Stephen Iannacone, who worked at Fernald for 24 years beginning in 1976. That was a year after the state signed the consent decree to improve conditions at the institutions. Iannacone acknowledges conditions were poor prior to the consent decree, but also says there were a lot of dedicated employees who improved the conditions over time. He recalled one patient who initially was constantly yelling and refused to wear clothes, but later was functioning well enough to eat at restaurants.
This was like, to me, I mean, I haven't even imagined it when I was first met him, so I think that was a great success.
Iannacone thinks people should be able to see the full history of what happened, good and bad. Back on the grounds of the former Metropolitan State Hospital, Alex Green says it's also important the commission include people with disabilities, including mental illness. People like himself who might have been locked away in institutions years ago.
It's about making sure that people who were erased in the first place are not erased in the process of uncovering this history.
But for now, the commission remains just an idea, waiting for Beacon Hill to make it reality. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Steve Brown.